Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. And tonight, the topic is policy, procedures, and being politically correct. So before we get started, we want to go before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you on this evening to say thank you, God. We thank you for your grace and mercy and always keeping watch over us, dear God. We thank you for your heads of protection that kept us safe on the highways as we went to our destinations, dear God, as we came from our destinations. Lord God, we thank you for being with us each and every step of the way. We pray, dear God, that your spirit will dwell in this place on this phone line, dear God. We thank you for this technology that you have provided to us. We thank you for ministry, dear God. We ask that you will continue to show yourself in our lives, dear God. Continue to help us to be obedient as we go forward doing what you called us to do. We thank you for our leader. We ask that you will continue to strengthen him where he is weak, dear God, and may he continue to lead us in the way that you have called us to do. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as we go forward, I want to begin, I do want to reference a scripture, and it comes from Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and it states, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." So I've heard the scripture before, and this particular time, I was drawn to, of course, all these adjectives, but at the end where it says fiery lake of burning sulfur, and I'm thinking, how horrible could that be? So it was just something that I meditated on as we've been talking about the topic at hand. I also want to bring up capital punishment, and I'm sure we're all familiar with that as we've, you know, been dealing with the things at hand in this world all around us. And capital punishment is simply the legally authorized killing of someone as punishment for a crime. Now, basically, it's wrong. There's no justification for it. And a lot of people would disagree with that. But according to God and his word and his way, it is wrong. So we talked about this morning, the commandments that I mentioned in the book of Exodus. One of those commandments is thou shall not kill. So we've talked about this as well the past week, that being politically correct, it causes us to take sides. And what it does is it divides us as a nation. And that's what it's been doing and continues to do. So God doesn't want us to show hatred, but instead he'd rather us educate ourselves in what is truly important in his eyes. So we need to see things from God's perspective, the way that he sees things. And the other thing that's important is we have to stick together. So we have to be united, and we have to fight according to the way that God would want us to fight. Now, a lot of us, we've probably gotten in fights in the natural, but in the spiritual, God tells us that we have to be suited up in our armor. And the spiritual armor that I'm talking about, that can be found in the book of Ephesians. And I'll go through those. There's six of them, but the first one is the belt of truth. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. The third is that our feet be fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The fourth is the shield of faith, and that is to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. The fifth is the helmet of salvation. And the sixth is the sword of the Spirit. So that's the word of God. And if we're suited up in that, and if we're fighting according to God's way, then it's going to be a fair fight, and he's going to be pleased. So I love the Apostle Paul because he talks about love so much. And he tells us to live out a lifestyle of love. So love be an operative word. And we're to do that with everybody that God places in our path. We can't pick and choose, which is what we often like to do. You know, if we don't like this person, well, we're not going to love that person. But, you know, we find favor with certain people, and that's not what God tells us to do. So God has a policy. We were talking about policies, and policy is a course or a principle of action that's adopted or proposed by a government, a party, a business, or an individual. However, God has a policy, and it's clearly stated in the book of Romans. It states, and we've heard it a lot, Mr. Carr referenced it all the time, and it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, simply put, God wants us to follow his commands, and he wants us to obey his laws. And he tells us that if we do that, we're going to live safely in the land. So it's like we put on our clothes each and every day. We get dressed up. We go out. That is one of the first things that people look at when they see us. They look at how we're dressed, how we present ourselves when we go out. And we have to put on Jesus in that same way. So when we go out, people should be seeing Jesus. And the lifestyle that we live, it should exemplify him in every way. Being politically correct does not allow us to do that. And when we abide in Christ, what it tells us is we're acting in accordance with him. So we can't abide in Christ if we're being politically correct. And that's something that was emphasized to us over the past week, time and time again. And it was stated that it's offensive to God. You know, God takes offense to that. That's not what we want. God should be pleased by the things that we do. But the other thing is, as the body of Christ, our voice should reflect who and what we're willing to support. And it also is going to reflect who or what we're not willing to support. And that goes by what we say and what we do. So the question is, do we support God or do we support the world and what the world says to do? Back to the Apostle Paul, what he tells us is to make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lust. So the word provision implies forethought. And what forethought is, it's carefully thinking about something or planning something. And after the forethought, under provision comes activity. So the activity is what we do as a result of the forethought. So much like our sin, being politically correct, it doesn't just happen, if you will. It's more or less something that is oftentimes premeditated. So it's like a chain of events. And we have the sins of our flesh, and we know that those sins that we take part in, we've given thought to it, and we've made provisions to be able to do it. So we have to realize that in order to overcome sin and to overcome our flesh, we know that we have to crucify the flesh daily, but we have to stop making provisions for our sins and for our flesh at the same time. So back to love. We talked about that in the beginning. We are to love and we're to serve, and we have to know that our time here is short, so we have to use our time wisely. We've all heard the phrase, to live each day like it's your last. And that's basically what that's talking about, because we don't know when that last day is going to be. And a lot of times we've been obsessed with time, so that takes us to procedure. And the procedure is an established or official way of doing something. So we have procedures whereby when it comes to time, we have to be dressed by a certain time. We have to leave the house by a certain time. We have to be to work at a certain time. A lot of us eat lunch. We eat dinner by a certain time. And this is everybody's favorite, I think. You have to work out by a certain time. But my favorite is the kids have to be in bed by a certain time. So, again, we're so fixated on time. And I bring that up as we talk about this because we have to ask ourselves, are we measuring our time correctly? And when I say correctly, I mean according to the way that God would do it. We look at the now, everything that's going on in the world right now, but God is more concerned with the time that is yet to come. And what I mean by that is he's going to be coming back. Jesus is going to be coming back, and we all have to be ready. We have to keep our eyes set on the prize because Paul tells us this is the way that we should live. And he's also telling us wake up, because a lot of us are asleep. And when I say sleep, I mean that a lot of us are not speaking up for God. We're not speaking up for the truth. And, you know, he says, like, we're sleepwalking. So we are alive. We have blood running through our veins. But yet we're quiet. We're asleep when it comes to doing what we have to do for God. So I just want to pose a question before I close. And the first question actually is, I mean, how can we be boldly enforcing God's policies and procedures in our everyday lives? How can we be effective in doing that? So that's something for us to think about, and we can answer that as well. But also, how can we be practical in putting on Jesus? So earlier I talked about putting on Jesus. How can we be practical in doing that? What does that mean? And also, what safeguards do we need to put in place in order not to fulfill our fleshly desires and not to conform to politics? So that's a big one, because a lot of people are into politics, and this is what they conform to. So, and when I say they, it's just whoever is interested in that particular topic. But those are just a few of the things that I wanted to point out for us to ponder on. And I do hope that you ate well. But at this time, I want to turn the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
Thank you so much, Ms. LaTanya. So, yeah, let me get to, you know, we're talking about the SMB Learning Center. We're supposed to be recapping policy, procedure, and being politically correct. So I want to hear from everybody. What is it that you took from this past week? Let's recap. That's the basis. Okay. Ms. Candy, I'm going to start with you. Unmute Ms. Candy. I want to hear so we can learn. That's what we're here for, to learn what we've talked about. Okay. Unmute Ms. Candy. For Ms. Candy, what is it that you took away from this week when we talked about policy, procedure, and being politically correct?
Well, for me, it was a lot about the political correctness and how there are so many different ways that we are politically correct, even without even knowing it. And then one of the things that I know really struck me in the past week was at the Democratic or the Republican convention, how Ted Cruz refused to be politically correct and backed Donald Trump. Now, the party would say, this is what you're supposed to do. People would say, this is what you're supposed to do. But he was holding on to a principle, and he said he did not choose to do that. And I bring that up as we're talking about this because this is what we're expected to do as Christians. It's not, it doesn't matter, you know, what someone else says that we should do or what we even within ourselves think we should do. What would God have us do? And then we're supposed to hold to that instead of giving into the popular thing at the time or our feelings at the time and being politically correct. And then one of the other things we talked about on Wednesday was how we believe, or as Christians we say we believe, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So no one goes to the Father except through the Son. We say that. We say we believe that, but then we allow for so many other things because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. So we're politically correct even with our faith, and we won't stand up and say, this is what the Bible says, and I'm, you know, we can apologize if we choose to for their feelings being hurt, but it's not really about feelings. It's about faith. And so if we are standing strong and holding on to our faith, we have to hold on to what we know that the Bible tells us and not what the world says, because the world says we should allow for a whole lot of things, but the Bible says, no, we can't do that. We don't have room for that if we're to be followers of Christ. So those were some of the things for me from this week.
Okay, thank you for that. So mm-hmm. I'm going to open the floor up. I want to address the politically correct first, okay? So if you have anything pertaining to being politically correct from this past week, we talked about that on Wednesday, being politically correct. If you hadn't heard that call, please go and listen to it. Strong call, very strong message. And if y'all remember, we talked about David and Goliath. Y'all remember?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we talked about, David and Goliath. As a matter of fact, Mr. DJ sent me a picture of Debo. Goliath. He and Debo. From Friday, y'all. I'm serious. The man Debo. Okay. When we talked about David and Goliath, okay, let me get some, if somebody have any scriptures, questions, or anything about that pertaining to being politically correct, please, star five at this moment, and we'll get to you. One of the questions I asked on Wednesday, we're learning, this is a learning center, I asked this very question, why are you not speaking the truth? I'm not talking about speaking it in private, I'm about talking about speaking it to the world. Remember I posed that question?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you do not know it? Is it because you do not understand the truth? Is it because you do not believe the truth? Why is it that you continue to be politically correct? We get our emotions tied up into things. I just had this conversation. I think my auntie may be on the phone with her, and I always have it. This is how I know. Y'all, Mr. DJ, being politically correct, this is our learning center. Do you honestly think if Jesus Christ, and let's be honest, everybody, if Jesus Christ was here today, I'm talking about in the flesh. I'm not talking about by spirit. If he was here today, would you go to his church or would you go to your pastor church?
Mm. Being politically correct.
Yeah, come on.
Being politically correct, since I'm used to my pastor, more than likely, the way the world is now, we would probably be at our own pastor's church. Because
see, I
Christ,
like that.
If Christ were to come here, he wouldn't have no big mega church, and his master of music got a CD out, and he just, you know, he's not a flashy kind of guy. That's not him. You know,
okay.
he would be simple.
Okay, and that's good. That's one way to look at it. Now, on the other side, the flip side of that, we have a lot of people right now being politically correct. We'll say we'll go to Jesus Church. Being politically correct.
Right.
Don't you know that you can be politically correct for God? The reason why we say that, because even the almighty dollar, this is our learning center, still says in God we trust. So if the dollar can lie, you know the dollar ain't going nowhere because you ain't come in the world with it, you're not going to leave with it. And we chase it, it becomes our master. It deceives us.
That's right.
Hmm? All these contentions because of the almighty dollar, this is our learning center. We talked about this on Wednesday. We talked about this, y'all. Listen, do you think if Jesus was here right now, you would go to his church? I guarantee you a great portion of us would say yes.
Right.
Now, we would go to Jesus' church, but it's, even if we ask this to the masses, to the world, a great portion would say yes. But why is it that even if Jesus was here, a great portion would say yes, but Jesus would still deny a great portion when it comes to entering into heaven? Because the majority going to hell, according to the Bible. You know why? Because we live a pretentious life. In other words, we say the name Jesus, but we don't really live the name Jesus. We don't live the lifestyle.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
We believe in being politically correct. Do you know how many leaders, how many pastors, how many people go to ministry school and get a title, and how many people can say hallelujah and then treat their neighbor like dirt? Because we're politically correct. We talked about this on Wednesday. David on Wednesday, he handled Goliath. The Goliath of today is politically correct. In other words, peer pressure is not just with children. It's with adults too.
Yes, it is.
Hmm? It's the card right now is the time because all them police officers were slain. Oh, I'm going to speak on it whenever God tells me to speak on it, so let me speak on it. Condolences go out to everybody. I don't think y'all heard me. I said, everybody. Since when did a police officer life more means more to God than somebody else's? I'm going to wait on that answer. I'm going to set that one right there. Because see all that back and forth debate, let's view this the way God views this. You view it the way politically correct views it. Therefore, you say support the blue. Well,
The Bible that I read, Mr. DJ, said what you have done to the least of them. He never said what you have done to the greatest you have done to me. He said the least of them. So let's put this two and two together. In this world today, politically correct, our learning center, we talked about it on Wednesday. In this world today, who would be considered the least? Come on, y'all go ahead and fill in the blanks if y'all want to. Come on, I'm waiting on these answers. Who would be considered the least?
Poor people, the ones that we don't want to face.
No. I'm talking about in the lieu of all this stuff that's going on. I ain't talking about the poor people. We know that. I'm talking about the lieu, in lieu of all this that's going on, who's considered the least? I think it would be the citizens. Anybody beg to differ? Because by right, we got stuff that protects one part and not the other part. By right, if one part do something, here come they going to do stuff that justify. We just talked about that last night. The lawyer tried to justify his stance. Why is it the man in Miami, in Florida, he gets shot, hands up, and the justification was I was trying to protect you. How you was trying to protect him and you handcuffed him? But the politically correct people out there, see, the devil has somebody deceived, but you do understand this. When God, watch this now, show me one place where the devil deceived God in the Bible. He never deceived God. That means when Satan deceives us, that means we're walking our own way and not God's way. That means we walk in political correctness and not the way of God. You can't be deceived when you're in light. You can never hide a color from me when my lights are turned on. But the further you step away from the light, God, the further you step into deception, darkness.
Right.
Oh, so that means, Mr. Carl, when we are deceived, that we can't be close to God. If you was close to God, why do you think the Bible says, be careful because he comes, huh? He's like he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But it's mighty funny how that wolf is at the back. He don't get close to God because he know God will point him out.
Right.
Y'all not talking to me tonight. We got to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Being politically correct clearly identifies with the spiritual realm. Because being politically correct and being biblically correct are two totally different things. They are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. Jesus was never politically correct.
That's right.
Can I say it one more time, Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir.
He was never politically correct. On Wednesday, David was never politically correct. Everybody else was scared of Goliath. Everybody else was scared to go up against the police officers. But Mr. Carter, they got Christian police officers. Show me one. Now, somebody mad right now because you're going to say there ain't no Christian police officers. I told you. You got three options if you're a Christian police officer. One, what did I say, Mr. DJ? What was one of the options?
One of the options was to walk away from it.
No, Mr. Latonya, tell me. One of the options. What I said?
Get persecuted.
One of the
there
options is. The police are going to be holy, and they're going to change the force.
Y'all heard it? You're going to be holy, and you're going to turn your force holy. The second option is that you're going to be holy, and that corrupted force is going to turn you corrupt. Remember, the Bible says that do not be deceived. Bad manners will corrupt.
Right.
Will corrupt. Oh, man. Bad company will corrupt good manners. That's biblical. So option one, you're going to be holy, turn that force holy. That good old boy network ain't let you do that. That's a heavy spirit. Number two, you're going to be holy, that's corrupt, and they're going to turn you corrupt. That's the vast majority. I'm going to explain. Or number three, you're going to be holy, you're going to stay holy, and they're going to fire you because you're going to start holding people accountable and telling people on themselves and getting on them, and they're going to get you up out of there because you are making ripples in the water because it's called the blue wall of silence, and you are breaking it.
Yes, Lord.
Now,
Amen.
The one I said I'm going to address right quick. The vast majority, watch this, y'all, if Jesus was a police officer, If Jesus was a police officer, I like to talk about this. If he was a police officer, and if he couldn't change the force wholly, he's definitely not going to let them change him corrupt. They would probably get rid of him. Yeah. But watch this. Do you not know if you condone, you're just as guilty?
Yes.
Hold on. I don't think y'all heard me. Guilty by association. If you see somebody, if a man right now, Mr. DJ, see a woman being beat up, what would you say that man who didn't do nothing? What would you call him?
Coward.
Why can't you call somebody who harmed a police officer a coward, but you can't call a police officer who harmed someone a coward? Is it a double standard or what?
Big time.
Yes.
It's not politically correct.
I say it as a coward. Jesus said it would be a coward. So the same stick you use to measure them by, you make sure you measure yourself by. But you got privileges. You got supremacy, right? But when we're politically correct, we only go with what our feelings tell us, not what God says. See, in other words, on a slide through life and not ruffle no feathers with people because we don't want to be persecuted. So I go with what the vast majority say. But didn't somebody tell you some time ago, if ever you want to know what's right, don't do what the majority do, go in the opposite direction? I guess that don't apply now, right? Because if protecting and serving looks like that, well, then what did Jesus do? Because who can be a greater protector and server than him? Tell me one person. Tell me what God is when you mistakenly say somebody had a weapon and they didn't, but you killed them and harmed them. Remember discernment. God doesn't make a mistake. So you made a mistake. That means you were operating in the flesh. And you people, us people, we defend somebody who made a mistake because they was operating in flesh and not in God. My God, this nation is in trouble.
Amen.
We defend that because we want to be politically correct. Discernment. Discernment doesn't make a mistake because discernment comes from God. Uh-oh, Mr. DJ. I done made people get quiet.
Ain't it?
Y'all, the line is open. Star 5.
Mr. Carr, we have 2 callers.
Please.
All right. All right, good evening,
Callie.
Go ahead. What's your question or comment for this evening?
Okay, I have 2 things. I have a scripture and I have a little question if you want to say. Like with the politically correctness, tends to be focused on like human sensitivity and self-esteem. So if you focus on sensitivity and self-esteem, is that eliminating God out of your life?
Y'all heard the question? If you focus on self-esteem and being sensitive, does that eliminate God? Okay, let me answer this. I don't want to say it necessarily eliminates God, but we got to make sure it's not beneficial to our flesh. If you're saying self-esteem based on the flesh, then you're about to eliminate God because now you're going to build your esteem based on how you look, feel, and smell and stuff like that. In other words, you're going to work on your external instead of your internal.
Okay.
Okay? That's when people start beautifying themselves. You know, bro, go get your hair cut or go get to the beauty just so you can feel good about yourself. But outwardly, you feel good, but inwardly, you're still to what? So where's God? So we make ourselves feel good. But here go that thing, feelings. Feelings. So we, self-esteem has everything. It should be based on the premises of your relationship with God, not your relationship with people. See, self-esteem comes by way of us not blending in with others. So our self-esteem or being accepted by others or being rejected by, so our self-esteem goes down. If that be the case, Jesus should have lower self-esteem because they didn't accept him. They persecuted him, and he didn't blend in with them. Do you understand the word persecution? I mean, not persecution, peculiar. Peculiar says self-esteem has no value in my life because being peculiar means I'm about to be rejected by a lot of people.
Yes. Amen.
Come on, y'all. Self-esteem has everything to do with you being accepted by the next person, not by God.
Yeah.
Typically, people who have low self-esteem need other people to do what? Speak positive stuff into their... Golly. They done tore her self-esteem down. How they tore it down? Because they said something, did something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we focus on self-esteem, what we do is we focus on being politically correct. In other words, we need the approval of others and what they say, as opposed to the approval of God and what he says.
Mm-hmm.
You big, precious, and they call you big. God say you perfect.
Yep.
Huh? They didn't have cologne back then. I bet you Jesus didn't smell like CK1.
Mm.
Should his self-esteem have been low?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking. See how serious it gets?
Mm-hmm.
We become people pleasers, although we get this hoopla and say, I ain't no people pleaser, I'm God pleaser. Well, then why your self-esteem on the fence then? Huh? Because I guarantee you, that's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man? I'm glad you posed this. This is why you got to know, what does it profit a man to gain the world? In other words, to get world approval. In other words, have your self-esteem so high and that you lose your only soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Satan's slick now. I bet you, all we feel good when we got everything going on good in our life. Our bills paid, we not behind, nobody calling us, asking us about nothing, and we just got it going on. We got wiggle room. That means we can go vacation. We want a vacation, buy our kids what we want to buy them. That's when we feel good. But when our back against the wall, that's when we say, somebody pray for me. Now, why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because we go by our natural sight and not our spiritual sight.
Right.
In other words, our self-esteem is high because we got it going on. And we have no need of God. And y'all can play the game if y'all want to. I done been there, done that. You know, when you at your high, your peak in life, and you got everything going on, you don't find yourself falling on your knees as much.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Why? Shoot, everybody say DJ Great. He don't need to hear from God. Everybody say LaTanya the best. She don't need to hear that from God. Everybody say Mr. Tom, Mr. Carr is phenomenal. He don't need to hear from God. All right. What was the scripture you had?
Okay, and the scripture I had is Ecclesiastes 8:4-6. It says, "For the king's word is authoritative, and who can say to him, what are you doing? The one who keeps the commands will not experience anything harmful, and a wise heart knows the right time and procedure. For every activity there is a right time and procedure. And even though man's troubles are heavy on him."
Y'all see that? For everything, there's a policy and procedure. For every time. Time and a place for everything.
Right.
But the one who keeps God's word don't have hardships. You know why? Because if you keep the word of God, God is your burden bearer.
Amen.
Holding on to the word of God is, I know this has to come. I know this has to come. I know everybody praying for peace, but the Bible says, do you think I came to bring about peace? I understand it. I understand it. I understand it. I understand people say we want peace. Shoot, Ms. LaTanya just talked about capital punishment. I understand. We talked about, you know, I mean, we want peace, though. We as a people got to get it. You keep on preaching that song. And the one I'm going to keep on preaching is that God is going to separate.
Yes, he is.
DJ, how can two people walk together lest they be in agreement? See, Satan is playing one card against the other. Look at the scripture she just read. He's playing one against the other. Satan is trying to tempt us where God is testing us. In other words, don't you stop doing God just because you're going to be persecuted.
Mm.
If so, you're going to deny God like Peter did. It baffles me. Now, some people won't, you know, the Bible talks about the gnashing of the teeth. Even in the day of judgment, some people still going to be hissing at God. Mad.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question as we talk about, you know what I'm saying, thank you for that call, thank you. Let me ask you something. Right now, if your soul depended on it, I'm talking about eternity, heaven or hell, would you stand up and vouch for all the wrongdoing and say, God, I still support it? I'm asking. Your soul on the line. That means your decision about to determine where you're going. Let me ask you this. Which one would God stand up for? Wouldn't he stand up for equal? Or would he say one is better than the other? I'm asking.
Equal.
Huh? Equal, right?
That's right.
So why then do we give one prestigious and glorify and the other we put down?
Yes.
Every time I've seen this happen where something, an officer did something to a citizen, they brings up the citizen's past. But if you want to be looking a little closer, the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongdoing. So who's operating in what spirit? Because just like you bring up their past, what about your past that was never recorded on paper? You know, like, how many officers did you know whoremong? I don't think y'all heard me. How many officers are players and pimps in the streets?
Yes.
I'm going to leave it alone. But we want to talk about past. But the Bible says before you remove the speck, remove the plank. See, that falls under the category of the unforgiving servant. See, we want to judge somebody and judge them hard, but we don't want our past to be brought up.
Yes. That's right.
Who are you to take the law in your own hands? If you got a badge and a gun and you're not deeply rooted in God, you're about to cause hell here on earth because you have no morals. So you have nothing to stand by. I don't think y'all heard me.
Right.
One of the most dangerous things in the world is to give someone power when they don't even know God. That means if they don't know God, they're not going to enforce godly power.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. People, when are we going to wake up? Well, Mr. Carter, people in the hoods, look at them. They in the hood, and they don't got to have their pants sagging. But let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation? Your mama and your daddy just had a silver spoon. You don't know them people's situation. I'm not justifying, but what I'm saying is Jesus was born in a manger. You should also talk about him. You know what a manger was? A manger was like the hood. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that, though, right? Now you're talking to somebody who knows the word. The manger is like the hood. Jesus came to be the least. Lord have mercy, Mr. DJ. I just so happen to be privileged enough to go somewhere and get a better education. But I ain't forget about the people who don't have, because I'm going to go down and meet them, God said. For God so loved the world. In other words, he had perfection in heaven, and he came back down to something that is corrupt. He didn't forget about us. So for everybody being politically correct on his phone, you done forgot about them that's beneath you. Yeah, they pants sagging, but when you gonna go back and love them, the Bible says a wise man wins souls. So win something, that means it got to be lost. You too busy trying to win people who are already claiming to be saved. And you think you're doing something in God.
Amen.
Huh? But Jesus said he didn't come for the whole, meaning he didn't come for the ones who thought they had it going on. He came for the sick. He came for the thug. You better get your mind right. Huh? The very people he put down, that's the people he came for.
That's
you
right.
know why? Because they've been oppressed all this time. You just had the benefit to go to a nice university, college degree. Mr. Carr, they don't work though, they lazy. You don't know how many applications they put in, and because of their creed, their race, and everything else, they got denied. You don't know what oppressed feel like. Yes, I do. I've been denied a lot of times, but see, somebody had to kick butt to get in, and they still their ground. So what's the difference? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to talk like that because it's a man of God. It's the truth.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, he talked too hard. He passed. Well, let me lower my voice down then. How about that? Because I don't want to have the angry black man syndrome.
Tell it.
Huh?
Yes, Lord.
Come on.
Because I know my Bible says I know my Bible says to be angry but sin not. Tell me which part of that was a sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, because we feel that we're better than people. So we justify the right by you kill them. In other words, you saying that their life was not valuable. Lord have mercy. This is what we've come to, and we claim we love God. How can you love God, but yet he says, do not kill? And we justify why the killing happened.
Right.
One of the reasons why I particularly wouldn't be a police officer, because I wouldn't use a gun. Because what's more important than my job is my salvation.
Yes. Amen.
I don't think y'all heard me. One of the reasons why I wouldn't be a police officer is because I wouldn't use a gun. Because why get on something if I had to? I don't want to harm you in no way, shape, or form. So I'm not even going to provoke myself.
Yes. Yes.
I don't believe in being politically correct. But that same authority that you use against people, God is going to use it against you. It's so funny how when, you know, even the authority, police officers go to jail if they ever get indicted, the less than 1% or prison, why they got to put them, segregate them? Shoot, you talk much noise out there? Talk it in here.
Right.
Why? Mr. DJ, I think it's cowardly, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's cowardly, huh? You talk to them like they was trash out there. Why you can't talk to them? Mm-hmm. Huh? Oh, I'm lying again, y'all?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Because if you're going to be a man all the time. If you're going to be a woman, woman up all the time. See, don't try and jump God now and be like God now. Huh?
Yes.
Treat people how you want to be treated.
Amen.
Stop being politically correct. Who was my next caller?
All right, 1 second. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
I had two scriptures to share. One of them is Proverbs 31:8-9. And it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. And then I had Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
That's being politically correct. It tears it down. Read the first one more time.
Proverbs 31:8-9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy.
Y'all destitute. Y'all know what that means? Destitute. That means without the basic needs, necessities out of life. Not having to the poor, the penniless, destitute. Speak up for them. Y'all might say, see, anytime, boy, boy, I'm telling my pops. Now, I need to tell y'all something. My father, he is the most common sense person I know. Now, he don't profess the word of God. He don't. But what I did inherit from him was common sense. Y'all think I talk, he talk. But he be saying some stuff like it be legit. And he said it today, we talk. He said, why is it that when someone stands up for what's right, especially if you're a certain skin color, pigmentation, you, are labeled anti or a hate group or militant. But if you're the other skin color and you stand up, that's profound. They stood up. Look at them standing in their crown. Why is it that one party, when you clean a house, you're called a maid? When the other party cleans a house, it's called a housekeeper. Why is it when one party, they cut your grass, they call it a grass cutter? The other one is called a lawn service. Stop me when I'm wrong. Why is one called a garbage man, the other one is called a sanitation cleaner?
Right.
I'm going to wait on this.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? You better go do your history. And I ain't talking about just the black-white issue. I'm talking about the spiritual history. Being politically correct, and then we fall right up under that category because we go with the being politically correct and we start talking about the very people. Y'all know I done heard Christian folk talking about they lazy. First of all, define they so I can go ahead and tell you about you because I'm very direct and specific. Because, see, they can't speak for themselves. I can speak for them, though. Go ahead with your move. Go ahead with it. They don't want it. They don't want it, and they all they do is kill themselves. Well, hold on, player. All the other people do is kill themselves, too. Because if you do your history, they'll take out an insurance claim in a minute and try and kill a spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Under pressure, somebody used drugs. Under pressure, you know what we tend to do? We sell drugs to survive. I don't think y'all heard me. Under pressure, one person uses drugs to kill themselves. We sell it to survive.
Right. Amen.
Let's flip this thing around and see who would last longer. In other words, let somebody else be oppressed and you be the masters and watch what happens. But it's so funny to me, Miss Shira, that all of a sudden we got us a little position and we start talking about the people who are already down. I don't care what color they are, we talk about them. As if we'd have made it.
Because
you'd have got your little degree in God, so you think. Let me tell you, two things you can't graduate from is your fitness and your spiritual. I don't care what ministry school you go to. And I don't care what gym you go to. All you need to do is take 2 weeks off and watch how your body gets. All you need to do is step away from God 2 days and watch how your spirit man dwindle.
That's right.
Amen.
Huh?
Oh, yes.
Going on in God. So you have the right to put other people down. But how close to God are you, Peter? Because they ain't get it till Jesus left. Because you want to be politically correct. In other words, you want to know the word of God, but you ain't living the way of God. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. L-I-F-E. Show me the lifestyle, Jesus, you live in. I want to hear you. Put your mouth on mute and let me see the lifestyle. And then I'm going to know you in God. Boy, they don't want to hear this. This is a good message tonight. You talk a good game, but let me see it. Because you only love those who, with your mama, your brother, your sister, your pastor, huh? The people who are doing for you. What about the people that Jesus loved? Do you love them?
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Come on. Lead us on the phone, and I know we got some on the phone. You know my number, 504-231-7849. But see, nobody wants to talk. You know why? Because the truth will make people run. You know why? Because we're supposed to be better than everybody else because we know the word of God. Shut up, Mr. Carr, ain't better than nobody. The Bible says the greatest amongst you are those who serve, Mr. Politically Correct. You know what a server looked like? How may I help you?
Yes.
People you ask outside of the ones you love that. The Bible says even heathen says, you know the word of God. They can't speak for themselves. I'm going to speak for them. I'm going to speak the word of God to you. The Bible says even heathens can love those who love them. Now.
Right.
How often do you find yourself being politically correct versus helping those who can't help themselves? That's what Martin Luther King was doing, helping those who couldn't help themselves. There wasn't no black issue. He was speaking for poverty and oppressed people. It just so happened the majority were African American. And I'm sorry. That, too, is a figment of our imagination. The African American name? Did y'all know that? Uh-oh, we're about to be educated tonight. I do got a little time, right? Y'all do like to hear the truth?
Yes, sir.
Mr. DJ, I love it. Did you know that, Mr. DJ?
I hear you.
You hear me? I like DJ. DJ be saying, what you about to roll with? He already know. Hold on. Check this out, Mr. DJ. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Now is the time for us to disidentify as African-Americans, which doesn't even exist. It's not a legal word. It was invented by Jesse Jackson in 1988 to make us feel that we were equal. But now you got Chinese-Americans, Arab-Americans, Asian-Americans, African-Americans. Envy, that term is very misleading. Let me tell you why. Because you cannot be the slave and the slave master. You cannot be the oppressor and the oppressed. You cannot be the victim and the victimizer. You cannot be the rape and the rapist at the same time. How can you be African-American? How can you be the God and the devil in the same body at the same time? We are the only people in America, okay, whose humanity was codified by law. A lot of us don't get this, Charlemagne. Do you realize you're the only people in world history who are not even considered people? We had to fight to prove we were human beings before we could fight for freedom. People leave that step out. It wasn't a fight for freedom. It was a fight for humanity, then a fight for freedom, then a fight for equality, and now we have stage four, a fight for survival. Mm. You're the only people who are not allowed to learn by law. You're the only people who are dehumanized by law, okay? And you are the only people who the world benefited from your enslavement and did nothing, absolutely nothing about it, but the entire world benefited from you. So black people don't owe no explanations to nobody. They owe them to us. But before they can be external reparations, there has to be internal reparations.
Enough said, huh?
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Well said. Well, I don't think we'd be wanting to know the truth, though. Because everybody said they're tired of the race card. I'm tired of it, too. But if the devil don't back down, I ain't backing down.
All right.
How you going to fight, and the person who brought the fight to you, you sit down before they sit down. You go sit over there, because you can't be a part of my crew. You can't be with God. But our fight is not natural. It's spiritual. I ain't backing down. And see, it's so spiritual that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall flow. It's in me. That's why I got to talk it. Because from your mouth flows blessing and curses. So I'm blessing people with knowledge, but I'm blessing people with empowerment to know that you should not play with the devil, not in the natural. I'm talking about the supernatural. That means it's going to be a lot of prayer, but a lot of supplication.
Amen.
Prayer to stand your ground law. Heaven has it first. Stand your ground. Stop being politically correct like Peter was and say that you don't know God.
Yeah, Lord.
When it's hot in the kitchen, that's when you're going to say you don't know God? In other words, you say you don't know God when you know the truth and you should not, you don't speak it.
Huh?
My auntie don't like when I said, my family is those who follow God, Sunday morning breakfast. I know, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have that to explain to nobody. Jesus said the same thing. My family are those who follow Christ. Did he have to apologize? But when we're politically correct, we say that's my blood. Blood is thicker than water. You're right. Jesus' blood is thicker than this. You're right.
Yes, it is.
You got it right. Policies and procedures and being politically correct. Did we have anybody else, Star 5, wanted to chime in? That was it?
No, Mr. Carr, but I do have a scripture I wanted to share.
Okay.
If I can.
Please.
This one comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, and it states, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So just as we, you know, are talking about being politically correct, we have heard a lot of the truth go forward in this past week, and that was one of the things that truly stood out for me, is as we go forward to stand on God and his word, because if he's leading us out, there's no wrong that can come against us as long as we're standing on what he's calling us to do at the time. So I just wanted to share that scripture.
Thank you so much. Y'all got it? This is our learning center. Policy, procedure, and being politically correct. We cannot obey God's policy
and procedure and be politically correct according to the world. We have to be accountable to the word of God. We have to be. You can't be a Christian, yet you live a life of a heathen. The common is that we all have sin, though, Mr. Carr. But when are you going to get it right? It's a choice. God said to love me with all your heart. That's how we know we don't be all in. Because we don't want to give all in, because to be all in God requires that we tear down the walls of being politically correct. That means I'm not going to tell people yes just to go with them and go with the flow. I'm not going to do what the world do just to go with the flow. That means, man, they're going to talk about me. And we don't want people to talk about us. We want people to talk about Jesus, not us.
Yes.
That's
right.
Y'all heard? That's right.
Huh? Yes.
Put Jesus under the bus. We don't want them to talk about us. We'd rather them talk about Jesus. I hope this is challenging some folk.
Yes, it is.
Yes, indeed.
The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not hearken unto, they won't listen to. You done heard the word of God. Huh? You heard the word of God. And it's true. Accountability is very important. Let me ask y'all a question, and we can get off the line. I have several. Will there be any excuses when we stand before God?
Not a single one.
No.
You know we will appear alone before God, right?
Face to face.
Right.
Each person accountable to God, not to others. Y'all do know that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Since we are accountable to God and not others, why do we believe in being accountable to others right now? The Bible says, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. If you're accountable to God then, be accountable to God now. That means politically correct, you got to go. I got to say, thus said the Lord. But Mr. Carr, have you ever been politically correct? Yes, I have. Now that you know better, what you going to do, Mr. Carr? I'm going to do better. And that should be your same mindset.
Amen.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Understand that our actions affect others. Yeah, I know that, right? What you do affects somebody else.
That's right.
It does. It does. When we are accountable, that means we take on personal responsibility for the things that happen nationally. God, what is it that I can do better at? What policy and procedure have I not been following? Somebody's saying, well, that man crazy. You can't talk about what's happening here and then trying to fix Chicago. Yes, you can, for those who believe in God. Because just maybe somebody hear about how you have been following God from a whole nother. Can I tell y'all a testimony right quick?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes,
I had somebody out there, and I was, you know, I had a truck washing business, the big old 18-wheelers, you know, them boom, 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 the big old trucks. And just as y'all think I'm lying. She was out there doing my paperwork for you. I'm mute Ms. Shabri for me, please. I'm going to let her tell the story. I'm going to show you policy and procedure, how this works. We ain't talking about policy and procedure, how this works. Because I'm a stickler for perfection. But watch how this works, Ms. LaTanya. Ms. Shabri, what happened?
The young lady, her and someone else was in the car just looking. When we pulled up, the crew was out there. So Mr. Carr and another one of the workers, they was unloading, and they went to the side. It was in unison, getting everything together. She came out of her car, came over there, because I was standing up there doing some paperwork, and she said, I never seen this before. Y'all doing this wonderful job. She gave me a hug, and she wanted to take a picture of them doing the truck and how he was doing it. And she said she never seen that before, and it was awesome.
Okay, she's telling y'all in short. The young lady was sitting in the car by the time we got there. This is our standard procedure. My crew, we get out. I am a stickler for time perfection. We got to be on it. Okay? We got to be on it. And I'm so much, and I'm going to tell y'all this. I don't even let them know I'm the owner. As far as they know, I'm the worker.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because if the worker can work, okay, so this is the deal. We get out there and we unload. Everything is time-based. I mean, we be on it. I time every vehicle we do. But don't think that it's mass chaos. When I tell you, you got two people going down the sides, you got everybody doing everything and synchronized. That's why the young lady came over there. She said, I never seen teamwork like this, was her exact words. She said, I never seen teamwork like this. Because I make sure my crew, when they go down the side of them trucks, they both on the same, one never goes ahead, Mr. DJ, while the other one behind. It's one on one side, one on the other side. They can see each other's feet, so they going at the same time. When I say you seen them synchronized swimmers, that's how that work look out there. You know why? We don't have time to be playing with the world. Satan is always plotting. So the things of God, we got to set the standard.
Amen.
Now, when have you ever... My crew was smiling. I said, y'all think y'all celebrities now, huh? I said, get your shine on. You know why? Because when you do the things of God, look at how it this lady's demeanor has totally changed. Now, you would say, Mr. Carr, what they got to do with, you know, God? Look at the policy and procedure. Because what happens is when you can see the spirit of excellence, it makes somebody else and motivates them want to do it the same way. I don't know. Maybe that affected her marriage. Maybe she can say, hold on, if they can work like this, like ants, the Bible says, look at the ant and study her ways. If they can work together and in unison, maybe me and my husband can go and do the same thing.
Amen.
It might be minute to y'all, but that meant a lot to me. Because strictly, she only saw the latter part. Meaning she didn't see the days where I had to say, stop, start over, let's do this again. She didn't see the days where I had to stop and say, hold on, I see something on your face, you straight? That ain't her attitude, right? Because I don't play them spirits. All right. She didn't see them days, but she see the product now. She see that.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you want to. Spirit of excellence, look at how it can win souls. And we ain't even mentioned God, but we demonstrated God.
That's right.
Enough said. Policy, procedure, being politically correct. Mr. DJ, you want to pray for us, please?
Sure. Father, bow your head. Dear Heaven, dear Father in Heaven, we come to you again in prayer, and we ask that you bless us and everybody under the sound of my voice. We ask that you give us traveling grace and mercy, and that you anoint us, bless our attitudes, help us to stay on your path, and stay on path for your will, just because that's the thing to do, not for any fashion or shape or any credit. We want to give it all to you. For we know that everybody is watching us, but more importantly, we want us to keep our eyes on you. Bless us. May that something being said could grant us peace and help us in our daily lives. Help us to be a shining example to not only our family, friends, enemies, and acquaintances. Keep us together, Father, and bring us back again on one accord. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have
Amen.
A great night, and make sure y'all tune in on Wednesday. We're doing our Bible study. And make sure you have a friend, okay? Because we definitely have to grow in God. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.